that type of person. And so that became a very difficult person, in her life. Sometimes we don't, there's a difficult person because they're arrogant. They just think they're it. They speak to you as if you're nothing. And that person becomes a very difficult person to deal with. Sometimes they're annoying. How they act, how they're always wanting you to do something, how they're always wanting to have you with them. Many times possessive people become difficult to be a friend with because they want to possess you. And so instead of really caring much, they become a difficult person to you. Sometimes it's because they manipulate you. You know they manipulate you. You know that they just seem to have a way of using you. And they become a very difficult person to you. Of course, we get frustrated. Now, there's a man who wrote about this in a book, and he labeled these people tanks. Sometimes they come at you full force. He labeled them also snipers that got behind something and would shoot something. And that brought up that trigger in your life. Sometimes, he said, there were explorers trying to get everything out of you. And then the bulldozer, the one that just comes in, the wet blanket, the one that just doesn't smile. You don't know how to deal with them. You don't know how to be friendly with them. They're just like putting a wet blanket over the group when they get together. And of course, there's those that are silent clams. You know, there are parents that discipline their child by being silent. And that is one of the very difficult things for a child to face. If you have a friend whose parents was the silent kind, that when you did something, they didn't talk to you, they didn't have anything to do with you for a while, that they would rather be beaten. And sometimes we have those people who are silently calm, but you know there's that undercurrent. Complainers, procrastinators, know-it-alls. I think those become very difficult people when you find those that know it all. So therefore then, as this boss said to his employee, you've got to learn how to deal with it. And this actually is what we must do in our lives, learn how to deal with difficult people. One, because we're Christians. And the basic religious philosophy and thinking is love one another. Now, it's very hard to love, feel that expression of love to somebody that it frustrates you, manipulates you, knows it all. And so here we face these things as a Christian, because this is where we're coming from. As a Christian, how do we face this? Well, let's look at it and sort of look at how we do manage it. First, always, you have to deal with yourself. I don't care what it is you're dealing with. When it comes to opposition or this type of thing, the first one that you have to deal with is yourself. Now, there is a reason for that, but you can't change anybody else. You can't change a person. They'll be difficult. You may have to live with them. You may be angry. You may be frustrated. You may like to throw them out. But you can't, because you can't change them. So if the situation is going to be changed, it has to be me. I have to do it. And I want you to think about that. Because when we look at emotions and the actions of different people, there is in us, first, there is a triggered belief. A triggered belief is what you think about that person. It becomes that you're thinking. So following the thinking that comes to you, then we have something else that follows that. And that's self-talk. Now, I want to tell you something. These two principles are the greatest principles of being able to live with other people. What we do so many times, you know, somebody does something to us and we feel like, well, I should be treated with respect. They're a bad person. They must not treat me as if I'm worthless. And then, and we say the world's fair, and so they should be punished. So we have different kinds of beliefs about that person. And those beliefs trigger something else. That is something that we live with, and that's self-talk. You know what I mean by self-talk? You don't have to be 78 like I am to talk to yourself. From the time we're little, we talk to ourselves. The little boy that his mother said, sit down, he wouldn't do it, and finally he sat down. And then he said to her, I'm sitting down on the outside, but the inside I'm standing up. You see, we have a lot within us. And so here we are. We've come up against a person that is really a little difficult to deal with. So I have a thought about them. They're either know-it-all, or they don't know nothing. Or they are the kind that put you down or manipulate you. And that becomes your thought. Your belief system, you believe that. But then with that comes the detrimental part. That's bad in itself, but the detrimental part is my self-talk. I get to the place where I start talking about them and myself. I can't stand them. I wish this boss would drop dead. There's people that say that. I wished I never married them. And we go on and on. And we feed that particular thought. We feed it. And as we feed it, of course, it begins to awaken something in us. And because of that then, because of my belief system, because of my thinking, my thought life, my self-talk, I'm coming to a place where I don't know how to deal with that person. Why? Because I have said this is what they are. And then I have labeled them and put on top of that all my self-talk. Who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? Don't they know that that kind of thing doesn't go over? And over and over that self-talk goes on. And so then we have to get to the place where we realize that this is my problem. You know, we don't like to say that. I don't. But I've had to. As I've been studying, and the Lord's been working in my life, and I have seen how many times that I've had to back up because of my belief system in a person. And now I have learned that when I feel this way about a person, I begin to change my thinking. Probably they're very tired. Probably have a lot of trouble at home. Probably they don't understand. And I begin to give it a different type of a belief system. We have to do this. This is the thing that the Pharisees couldn't do. Whatever the person was, they were guilty, they were ostracized or whatever, but Jesus came to tell us the difference. Jesus came to let us know that we ourselves are accountable, not for the difficult person, but for our reaction to that difficult person. And so then we have some, you know, those of you who are good on the computer or whatever, we have hot links connected to our emotions. So when I have my belief and I begin to get my self-talk going, lots of times it's condemnation. I condemn them. They're so foolish. Why are they that way? Why do they act that way? Who do they think they are? We have so many different ways of thinking, and it brings up, we want to condemn them. We wish punishment on them. That's what condemnation is. And so it ends up in anger directed toward themselves, to you, toward them. And so with this condemnation, we want them to be punished. Well, now, we recognize that the Word of God said that he's the one that punishes, not us, as a child of God. We recognize that he tells us that we are to love them He didn't say because they're lovable. Now, I want you to understand that love, and we've often talked about it in class here, love is not the emotion. Love is not my feelings. I may never have tickly feelings in my heart when I see them. But the fact is, love is basically caring. When we have someone who, that boss may have no one that really cares about him. And this is his way of reacting to everyone. But there's something about us taking the step of caring. Now, how can I care for a boss that's so difficult? Well, I might learn something that he likes and takes to him. I might go and ask him sometimes how his family is. I might begin to be able to understand. Maybe I'll take him a cup of coffee once in a while. You say, I'm not a brown noser. No, you're not a brown noser. You're just showing him that you're caring. And many times, this is what cracks. This is what cracks the facade that we have. We all have facades, you know. If there's bruises, there have been facades that we have put up against them. So then we see then as we, instead of condemning them, because that's the Lord's business, we have to realize that he did not give us any right to condemn people or judge people. He said, judge not that you be not judged. Because we really can't. All we can do is say words. Maybe we can do some things behind that can hurt them. But we have to recognize as children of God, we don't want to condemn people. Then we have this thing that comes, particularly maybe in marriages. Or maybe in relationships or whatever. Maybe it's not, this isn't even the boss. But anyhow, I can't stand it anymore. You know that phrase? I've said that twice. I can't stand anymore. Not at it anymore. I thought I was at the breaking point. And twice I got phone calls. I got things where I had to face terrible things that I wasn't expecting when I was saying I can't take it anymore. You see, the Lord knows how much we can take. And he knows we can take a lot more than what we're willing to take from people. And so we see then that this, I can't stand it anymore. It's a refusal to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable. That's why I can't stand it. So I'm refusing to let anybody take my comfort away. So basically we see there that we've made our decision. They're not nice people. I'm not saying they're, but you made your decision what they are, and then you say, I can't stand them. I can't stand them. Well, you see, there we come as a Christian again. How are we going to love them if we can't stand them? Now, I'm not saying that we need to go every day and knock on their door. No. I'm saying that when we meet them, we used to talk about Christian courtesy. It's a Christian attitude toward people. We are very courteous. We give them that feeling that they are something, and we believe that, and we're very courteous to them. It doesn't mean we're going to be eating dinner every day with each other. It just means that when I come to the place I can't stand, and I say I can't stand it anymore, you're basically talking about your own comfort. And so we really need the Lord to help us to recognize that there is something beyond our comfort. There is something beyond our comfort zone. We want to push people off. We want to push things, people away. But this is not what God wants. He wants us to be Christian character and use that character in us being courteous to even those. We feel like sometimes we can't stand it anymore, but the truth is, it's just because of our own uncomfort. Then there's those who, on my notes, it calls it awfulizing, whatever that means. But anyhow, it's being all, and this is awful. The situation is more than 100% awful. It's horribly, it's terrible. It's just beyond, you know, catastrophically. And sometimes that's the way we get. Sometimes we feel like whatever it is just terrible. It's just awful. The way they act and what they do and how they are. And we just build up something there that we can feel that. But again, as Christians, can we allow ourselves to do that? I know there's some people that I have felt were pretty awful too. And I've had to make some bridges and build some bridges. You see, as a Christian, we do not live for our comfort. We live to be an example of Jesus Christ. It takes a lifetime of working. You don't do it overnight. It's every time a situation comes up. How do I meet this situation? Many times I haven't met it very nice. I know, and I felt many times condemned as the Lord began to show me these things. But the fact is that you and I, as children of God, we take our awful things to Him. Lord, if you can help this person, if you can do something, if there's something I can do, show me. But we're guarding our heart. Because you see, when we think these things, a lot of times they get into our heart. That's where they go. And then we feel a little bitter. And it can almost come to the place of hatred. Can I let a difficult person determine my attitude? There was a man in the convalescent home that was taking care of the people. And there was this old man, and I can identify because this is what I did when I was in college. He was just cankerous. He was just angry. Nothing ever satisfied him. And yet this man always was kind to him, was nice to him, would help him. And someone said to him, "Why do you do that? That man is just so..." He said, "I'm not going to let him determine my..." And you see, as a child of God, that's what we have to understand, that we can't allow that to happen to us. Sometimes you feel it's worthless. I'm worthless. I'm no good at all. Low self-esteem. And then you become sort of depressed. This is the area of depression. Let me tell you, until you can get to the place where you know where you stand in Christ, there may be many times you feel worthless. I grew up with a very, very poor self-image. I've had to work through that. I've told you some of the things. But you know, I'm finding out that when I really got serious with Jesus, when I really knew that He came in with love in my heart, my self-esteem went up. Not pride. I have nothing to be proud of. But my self-esteem, when the Lord of glory, the creator of all mankind and everything we see, puts His hand on our life, don't you think we've got some self-worth? This is the answer to those who feel like they're sort of worthless. So when people, there's these difficult people that make you feel even more worthless, but you have to recognize that's why we have to see our worth in Christ. He loves me. And you know my verse? They used to say, "We have a life verse." Yes, I have one. He chose me. I didn't choose Him. And He ordained me that I may go forth and give forth fruit. I know I didn't choose Him because He came after me. And He chose me. And because of that, I don't really have to worry so much. You know, I've been a woman preacher since I was 22. But it became unpopular. When I was growing up, it was popular, but it became unpopular. And so I understood, I've had some real with it, you know, but I understood this, that God called me. I know he called me. And I recognized this, and I said, the Lord will open the doors that he wants me to go in. No one. And for all of these years, he's always opened a door where I would be able to work for him. So you have to understand then that we in ourselves are a blessed person. When you look at this aggravating person that just can't get along, the sympathy of God, as we look at them and we think to ourselves what they could be if they had Jesus. You see, these are some of the things we must cultivate as we face these things. We must get some principles and cultivate this in our life, where when we sense this thing coming in on us, that we can stop it. I have to tell you the truth. One time we were just, I don't know, maybe it was about a year ago in one of our directors' meetings. Someone said that someone accused FEA of something. I forget what it was, in the finances, I think. I was astonished, because I know if there's anything FEA is, they're very honest about the finances. And so I went home and I got to thinking about it. And I began to feel something rise up about that group. Because they were wrong. They were accusing us wrong. But it wasn't very many minutes when suddenly I realized, no, Lord, I can't do this. And I prayed until that thing lifted, and I just never thought about it anymore. We see, God wants to do things, but we must initiate what he cannot do. He cannot keep your mind closed. He won't. Satan uses it as a subway. Boom, 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 always coming up with something, bad feeling, something, or always the worst ideas, thoughts about people or yourself or whatever. It's Grand Central Station, your mind is for him. We have to keep our mind in subjection. And as we do it, it must be something we do on purpose. He's not going to do it for us. We have to do it on purpose. And that's why we're saying here that actually, if we're going to do this, this is something that first we must recognize, okay? Here's this person that I can't stand. This difficult one I have to work with. Lord, there must be something here. Something wrong. Maybe they don't know how to work to do the work, and they're trying to show themselves that they can't. There are all kinds of reasons. But Lord, I don't want to feel that way. I want to see them as you see them. And as you do, it's like you're a freed out of prison. Anytime you are bound by this thinking in our lives about people or things or whatever it might be, it's like it puts you in a prison. I'm possessive. God has to show us, and we have to cry out to him. And when he does, it's like a whole free world of friendships before. So you see, we have to understand that these are some of the things that can trigger us. So now we have to see what are some of the methods for coping with these difficult people. First, we're going to have to acknowledge something. They're not really unpleasant people, but rather our belief thinks this about them. You know, I'm talking sometimes at people that everybody else loves, but I don't. They're difficult for me. They make me feel da 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 da. They've used me. And I might feel, but I have to understand that the reason why I feel that they are unpleasant and they're not very nice, it's my thinking. This is my thinking. Now, there may be 10 people have the same feeling toward a person, and each one has their own thinking about them. But here we see now that we have to first learn to to be able to work on ourselves. We have to be able to get to the place where we can cope with them by managing our emotions. Our emotions, I'm afraid today, is a big part of our life. Reason, the era of reason came in about 1500 when it really came in. Then after that, Shakespeare came along, and then the emotion came in to evolve. So we see today, most of us, if we're not careful, we do things because we feel like it, or we don't feel like it. You're going to town today? No, I don't feel like it. You're going to wash the dishes right now? No, I don't feel like it. So we're actually very much guided by a fickle nature within us, because emotions go, you know? One time you feel like this, the next time you don't. That's why it's very hard for me sometimes when people come. Boss, he came to live with, and he stayed with me a lot. And I started trying to feed him, try to cook for him, you know? And one day he liked this, and one day he wanted this, and he didn't like that. And then he didn't come sometimes because he did something else. And I thought, boss, dear, I love you, but I'm not cooking for you. But, you know, the fact is then, we have to realize that people go by their emotions. I feel like it. But we can't live by our emotions. We can't. Because sometimes we have to do some things we don't feel like doing. We have to go the extra mile. We have to give the extra garment. We have to give a cup of water where we really, it's not so easy to give that cup of water. But that's why our Christian life, that's why we're Christian. That's why we are different than the world. But you know, you can try certain things. You think, this makes me religious, this makes me religious, you know, and I feel sort of self-righteous. But that's not where it's at all. We are commissioned by God to be formed in the image of his Son. And he does not do that with a can of paint. He doesn't give us some kind of vitamins to make us this way. We're so used to them today. Every time you get mail, some kind of new thing has come in that's going to heal you forever. But what he says is, follow me. Take on my precepts, take on my principles. Love is my basic principle. When somebody does something against you, you are to do them good. You are to care about them. Now, this takes the grace of God. This isn't something that we can humanly do because we're a nice person, no. And so that's why we're saying that coping with these difficult persons first is to manage your own emotions. Focus on changing your emotions, that anger that may come, and that annoyance that may come, or that displeasure, or that disappointment. They'll come. We're emotional people. You know, I like Jehoshaphat in the Bible. When he heard that three armies was coming against him, said he was afraid. I thought, thank God he's human, because that's us. When things come at first you can feel something rising in you, but that's when you must take charge. You must get to the place where you can say, okay, self, I know, okay, just quiet down inside. And that's when, if you begin to form and focus on that change, and sometimes we have to focus, you know, I think myself, confrontation is one of the best things. It's one of the things that can help us to overcome people that are difficult. Jennifer's husband, when he went to Jupiter, to the hospital, there was a woman there that was there a long time, and she began to get on his back about this and that. Well, he had been for years, he'd been in the same job in the hospital up in Jacksonville. But there she was on him all the time. So he went to her and he said, you know, he said, there's some things I'm sure I'm not doing the way they do it here. But he said, there are some things that I know how to do. And he spoke to her in such a way that that became his friend. When his wife had a baby, she sent a gift. So sometimes, if our emotions, if we can keep them calm and confront the person, not in any harsh way, but in love, that hurt me. Sometimes people are not even aware. They're not even aware of their voice and how sharp it is. We have a missionary, love the person to death, but they have a sharp voice, and they're always in trouble. Don't even realize it, I think, that it's that type of thing that is making people feel the way they are. So sometimes we don't even recognize. But as we go on, we begin to get to the place that we have a better thought, we get a better thought about them. We begin to control our emotions when this thing happens. You say, I can't listen, I want to tell you something. You can do anything with Christ's help. You can. That's how come there are those dope addicts that become free. And most of them, they do it through Christ. So we can do anything. You know how I always tell you about anger. Anger is one of those things where you and your husband are having a nose-to-nose argument, really hot, going at it, and the phone rings. And you go over, and here you've been really having it, and you go over and you say, hello, oh yes, how are you? Look how quick you can stop your emotions when you have to. It's only because we give into these things and then they become burdens, and then they become troubles to us, and they become pressures to us, and eventually they may even become sins to us. So let us try very hard to be able to get over this thing. Accept the difficult person, not his behavior particularly, but accept him or her. And this is where I was saying that sometimes you can just be nice to them, do something for them, accept them as a person. That's him. Have you ever heard some people say, that's just him? I've often said, that's just her. Bless her heart. I love her. But that's just her. And there needs to come within us an acceptance, because we can't change. But an exception that we can accept them, we can forgive them. You say, they didn't ask me to forgive them. Well, if you don't forgive them, then you're going to be the one that's going to be hurt. Have you ever noticed that people do something and you get something in your heart and you just don't forgive them, that they don't seem to bother them at all? They keep on going, doing all they want, doing the same thing, going on. Who's hurting? Me. Who's in bondage? Me. So you see, even in that, we're not taking the sense of our own self-good, not to be in the prison of these things. As we try to see the other person's point of view, you know, this is probably one of the areas of problems more than anything else. I have my point of view. You have your point of view. But always I feel like my point of view is right. And we will argue each other down right at the nose. And they feel just as strong that their point of view is right. So if you can learn how to be able to say, well, tell me what you really feel. Tell me what you really mean when you're saying this. And they'll tell you, and you think, oh, that isn't the way I understood it. So actually, when if we can sort of begin to negotiate, begin to talk, begin to understand each other, it saves us a world of trouble. And sometimes we just have to leave the situation and go to some place where it's pleasant. They're going to keep yelling at you. You'll say, well, listen, I have to go. See you later. If it's your wife, you'll have to say, honey, I have to go. I have to go do something. Or the wife, I have to go walk to get this thing. Whatever. Seek a way to get away from it if it's to the place where you need to deal with it in your own heart. So these are some of the things that we have to think over. Ask God to help us. Realize. Begin to see ourselves. Begin to see that God's greatest desire is to have harmony in the relationship of his children. You know, that's what it tells us back in the Old Testament, how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in peace. It's like the high priest having oil running down his beard. I never understood that part. I couldn't think that would be so pleasant. But that was a very pleasant thing in that particular time. So I want us each to try and to think these over. Do you have a question or a statement? Something you'd like to bring up? Now, come on, you talk to Sharon and Charlie pretty good. You never talk to me. You don't have to be afraid, you know that. Oh? You mean we're going to get out early to get some coffee? I appreciate you being here today. I really do. And if I say any more, I'm just going to run on and on. So let me stop here. And thank you, Doctor. And I trust the Lord will bless you this week. Maybe help you to think a little bit about what we've said. Don't take much in when we're hearing all of this, but maybe there's something that really clicked and you want to think it over. Now, I know the Chinese well enough that's the way you do. I remember when I used to deal with the Chinese girls that we went out to sing, they would just say, let me think about it. They think about it, and then they do what they feel they do. So you think about it. Shall we bow our heads? Lord, I pray that you will help our people. Help me and help each one of us. We are just workers together. We're just trying to get our way to the place where, Lord, we're just living out your message. We just want to be more like you. We're looking forward to when we're going home. So, Lord, I pray you will bless our people in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And there is coffee over in the place.